and welcome to this week's episode of Tapped. With us today is our host, Julie Donofrio.
Hello.
And this is Gretel Schrock. Today's topic of conversation will be about the resurgence of 90s television and the many reboots or remakes that are appearing on TV or have appeared in the last year or so, and especially this season. So on TV right now, there is a lot of buzz with the return of things like Will and Grace, TRL, as well as things, we're in the third season of another Full House, and also the second season of Twin Peaks.
Well, it was just sort of a special series,
yeah,
of Twin Peaks that showed up on Showtime, but gosh, some 20 years later to return to that world was really quite exciting.
And I think that's a really crazy thing that obviously studios are hitting on, is the feeling of nostalgia and the feeling of returning to something that you loved or wanted to explore again, or know that there were more stories, more deeper ways of diving into characters. And that's kind of what's exciting for, I'm sure, as well as the producers and the actors that are coming back. And as we've discussed, there are two different types of things that are happening. There are the full-on cast returning to make new episodes and continue their characters. But then there's also things like reboots, where series return but with new casts and new characters.
Like MacGyver, Hawaii Five-0, those kinds of shows that they're taking the name, they're taking the basic formula, but making them for a modern audience, which I find to be really interesting.
Yeah, that's maybe for another episode.
Absolutely.
But I think today we can talk a little bit about what it's like to return to former series. In particular, I'm going to start with Will and Grace, which is now just aired its second episode. In
the return of must-see TV on NBC.
And NBC, I think, is also making a strong comeback in television in general. I will give them a shout-out with really strong character-based stories, something that they had been really strong at the 90s with Friends, Mad About You, Seinfeld, and bringing that back, obviously, not only with things like Will and Grace, but new series like This Is Us.
The Good Place, I highly recommend.
Absolutely. also Must-See TV. And so that's really exciting. And I think also, too, what do you do when you wrap things up nicely with a bow? So, for example, Will and Grace, when they both gotten off and had married and had kids, that was wiped clean in the first episode.
I said, do they have kids? And I wasn't sure. We could be misremembering, but the fact is, spoiler alert, Grace is divorced, which means she moved back in with her best friend, Will. And we just sort of jumped right back into the same formula, which, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it feels a little tired, which I hate to say because I do love those characters so much, and they really were pivotal in the public sphere. At that time, there weren't a lot of prominent gay characters. People will forget. And they really helped open the doors for a whole movement. But they were not shy in their first episode.
No. And what I was going to say, what also tends to work in sitcoms is it all taking place in one apartment, in a living room, or on a couch, or a kitchen table, and having those conversations, those interactions. But very quickly we move outside of the confines of a New York City apartment and thrown into the White House. But yet, instead of having the backdrop of that living room, we are having the same interactions in the hallways and in the office of the White House.
The Oval Office. Grace, who's an interior designer, gets the gig to renovate, redecorate the Oval Office because her assistant, Karen, played by the wonderful Megan Mullally, is a staunch Republican, and she's always been that way. And so through her connections, she gets Grace the gig. And it really was quite interesting and funny to take it out of New York and drop them right into the heart of what everyone's been talking about lately, right at the White House.
Absolutely. And it was really interesting, too, is watching a recent interview with the whole cast was during the original series, they said they really didn't dive deep into politics or current events. They really kept it into the light and happy into the lives of the current characters. And what they did to modernize it is everybody is really affected by current events. And I also think what was really smart is Karen, as a high society woman in New York City, of course would be friends with the Trump. It just made sense. And so I really applaud going there, but also I think having a good time of it and keeping people to character and having fights and arguments regardless of where they are. It didn't feel that off at all.
Yeah, I enjoy the reboot. I really do enjoy revisiting these characters. I hope throughout the season, and if this continues for a couple of more seasons, that there's just a little more character growth, because I feel there some folks are a little stunted, and I guess that makes for easier writing. But overall, it's been fun, and they return to classic I Love Lucy antics. Last week's episode, again, spoiler alert, straight out of a Lucille Ball act, Grace and Karen get stuck in a shower and have to get their way out. And it's funny, but it's classic Lucy, which
yeah.
The show always paid homage to. So in that respect, I love those classic bits. But I also thought what was wonderfully done was Will and Jack, played with the wonderful Sean Hayes, are older gay men, and what that means when you're trying to still date as a single gay man. And I thought it was wonderfully done, and I think plays to any aging single person on the market, how you're perceived by younger folks, and you have different things to talk about when you're meeting someone new. And I just thought that was really funny. And they had a wonderful guest star, the Tony winner from Dear Evan Hansen.
Ben Platt. And also, playing a little bit on the cliche of what's it mean to be a millennial versus from an older generation and out in the world and how you see the world differently. And I also thought that was rather interesting, and I think something I'm sure they will continue to explore as the season goes on. But at the same time, again, yeah, even though it's been, 10 years, I do feel like the characters feel comfortable in themselves. And I think that's something that's also cool to see, regardless of who they're interacting with or where they are.
And I'm glad to see it's been so well received, because sometimes
nervousness, for
sure.
Nervous. Yeah.
And you wonder, oh gosh, are they just going back to the well? Have they run out of ideas? Like, is this really worth it? But I think when the four actors and got together to replay the characters for a video several months ago, a politically...
Get out the vote video,
thank you. And I think the excitement just around that, really led to a wonderful reboot. And yay, because sometimes it doesn't work. They tried Knight Rider and that did not work at all.
No, and for example, Full House got really panned and continues to get panned. But I think what are your audiences? And I think one thing is when you do look at a Will and Grace is that the show is aged with its audience versus like a Full House where you are actually aiming at a much younger demographic. Even if you look at like a Boy Meets World, where you have these very young preteen targeted shows, and when they come back, you're not gonna, it's really hard to please people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s because the original intentions of the show are still aimed at a much younger audience. I think that's also something really hard that critics, I think, are a little puzzled as to how do we deal with this? And also, how do we deal with a very young, cheery, bright, sitcom-y, multi-camera shoots where you're, you know, mugging and have very pointed dialogue? I think those are things that are we're also struggling to deal with when we're looking at this nostalgic recumbents of characters and shows, particularly aimed at younger audiences.
And I think it's interesting, too, that NBC took a risk going to Will and Grace again. But Fuller House is on Netflix.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they were willing, yes, it may not have been received well necessarily by critics, but it's in its third season.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, it's reaching enough of an audience that they're satisfied that it was worth the risk. And I think it's very interesting that a new site, a streaming site that's definitely trying to build original content, would take a chance like that. I think it's fascinating, but I do think you run up against the wall, as you said, of how do you reach the audience that's grown up. And that's sort of why I my sort of take on Will and Grace was, gosh, some of these antics seem a little silly for someone of that age now.
Yep.
And I kind of wish some of the characters grew up, Jack. And I almost got the sense from Sean Hayes that even he's like, well, I'm doing this because the fans want it, but I'm not even sure he's fully invested in it. That's just from two episodes, so...
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see where that will go. But I also think, too, as you said, like, audiences are flocking to it. Hulu just brought back all of its TGIF programming. So now you have full seasons of Step by Step, Family Matters, all on Hulu, which are all available. And I think, you know, what will be interesting is what ages well. And I think a lot of those shows were on syndication and weren't available on streaming networks because they continue to be draws on television. So, and obviously too, things like Blossom and Family Matters just had reunions thanks to Entertainment Weekly's annual reunion special. And so I think it's interesting to see, you know, the chemistry between these casts continue to stay and what is going to continue to draw audiences. And again, built on that nostalgia or a place of wanting to have happy thoughts and memories away from the news cycle these days. And I think it'll be curious to see, again, what are the numbers for people who want to watch them. But also I think now with a lot of people who watch them originally having kids and, like, allowing their families to enjoy them as well.
And I'll be interested to see, you know, they're bringing Roseanne back with much of the original cast except for John Goodman because he had passed away and the original ending of the previous show, and they're bringing everyone back and adding a few new characters, including what I believe is a transgender child, which that's Roseanne. She's always pushing boundaries and getting people to talk, and so it will be interesting to see again how that's received. Is there still an audience for that? Is there still an audience for her? You know, everyone's giving it another crack.
And speaking of audiences, I think, you know, the big thing in television these days is our numbers. Is, you know, when you're looking at viewership ratings in the 90s, you're talking about 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 million viewers, which seems astounding compared to today's numbers, where you're hitting 2, 3, 4, 5 million, and those are really good numbers for broadcast television. And I think that's something, obviously, too, that the studios are looking at, but also I think in terms of conversations, how much of that has driven online, where even if you haven't watched certain shows or episodes, you know what the conversations are about that happened in these episodes, and then you make decisions like that instead of tuning in live, watching it, or taping it on a VHS player. I think that's also something that will be interesting to, you know, to see too. But I'm really curious too how some of these shows deal with smaller audiences, but can come back because having smaller audiences is okay.
Yeah. Now I'm curious about TRL. Because I sort of half watched it. I was at that age where it just sort of came on the scene, but then it really became like boy band.
Yeah, I mean, I was your target demographic, and I was a teenager when it aired, starting in the late 90s, and I watched it every day, looking to see who was number one. And at that time, you were talking about Britney Spears, which had the most number ones, Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC, large audiences outside of the studio in Times Square, and I was walking by on my birthday last Sunday and saw TRL Comes Back Tomorrow, and I was just like, wow, this is real, it's in the same studios, but is it going to draw massive crowds? And one thing is, yes, it's Total Request Live, but there are no requests for music videos, which I'm curious to see how that is going to work. And interestingly enough, the first episode took place on Monday, October 2nd, which is the day after Las Vegas. And I think that goes back to another show that is aiming towards an audience, which of an age that I am not. And I don't know if MTV will care what I think or what critics think, because it's not aimed towards that audience. And so, but it is a platform for young people to speak out. I think that is something that they are craving these days, and having a show and a format to do that. But I think in my personal belief is that I also think, what are the platforms for music videos, which are clearly online right now, but I also think what made it really cool was you were tuning in for premieres,
right.
You were tuning in for a behind-the-scenes look, you were tuning in for very exclusive interviews. And I think nowadays celebrities can go live on their Facebook pages, live on their Instagrams, and there are a million shows to be interviewed on. And so I'm curious to know how much music will play a role. Obviously, artists were on the first couple episodes, like Demi Lovato, who have a very strong voice, especially on social issues. And so it'll be interesting to like what makes waves. And I hope that they don't just try to make every second go viral, but really take a moment to see what works in their audience. Because you never know, and it'll be also interesting to see what people, the hosts do. I mean, it's funny because Carson Daly has gone on, is now hosting The Voice, is on
right.
The Today Show. And when he left TRL, Vanessa Lachey took over, and she's now on Dancing with the Stars. Something too that it's really interesting to see what happens in 10, 15 years from now is I never also, I knew at the time I would never make it to Times Square. I would never see NSYNC or the Backstreet Boys live, like I just thought those days were over, and now you have comebacks of boy bands. I know we're talking about TV, but it's been also interesting to see Backstreet Boys reunited, and I know Julie and I had gone to an NKOT BSB concert, which was awesome.
Awesome.
And just reminding my 16-year-old self that you will get to see them one day. You will be much older, but it's okay. It's still awesome to sing "I Want It That Way" with 20,000 women instead of girls. And, obviously I've gotten to see Justin Timberlake live a couple of times. Talent does stick around. But the memories of watching it with friends, rushing home after school, I don't know if that's the case that's going to happen anymore with teens these days, because obviously I didn't have cell phones or anything.
And I'll be curious, are they streaming it? Is there a way for you to participate via your phone? Can you tweet? It'll be interesting to see how they engage with viewers, because you're right, not everyone's going to be rushing home. But if they can watch it on their phone, maybe that's a different story. And that's something they certainly did not have, back in the 90s when they started out. But it's just very interesting. I'm wondering if this is a slow return for MTV to its original intent, which was music and artists, instead of Catfish and all these other shows and reality shows that they have been producing for the last several years. And
but I do give MTV credit for, in my mind, starting the reality TV revolution with Real World, and Road Rules. Who would have thought that those would be entire genres that every station, cable network, and broadcast network produced some form of those.
Yeah, I mean, it was a revolution. It changed programming today, which is why I think folks, to wrap it all up, are going back to some original stories to get away a bit from reality and say, hey, let's go tell a good half-hour story and bring characters that make people happy, make people think, and maybe that's why we're starting to see this return to stories that we're very familiar with, because maybe we are trying to get a little bit away from the Duck Dynasties of the world, the Kardashians, all those kinds of programming that in the end really don't stay with people.
Mm-hmm.
And these characters have stayed with us. Will and Grace stayed with us. And it'll just be really interesting to see who else pops up. Again, looking forward to Roseanne.
Yeah, I don't think this is the end. I think we're in a couple, at least in the next couple seasons, we will see some shows come back.
With beloved characters. Because, you know, Twin Peaks was phenomenal. And I don't think they're coming back. But it really meant a lot to the fans. That they did do this special series, and we'll see what else will be out there. But stay tuned,
but also let us know and follow us at Tapped Pod on Facebook and Twitter, and let us know what shows you would like to see come back if it was your choice. Thanks for listening.